Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
I want to pray for our city. And I'll tell you, because when, man, I want, these are the kind of times where you just want to wax eloquent, you know, you want to say the right thing, you want to, and I'm just telling you, the right thing is Jesus is the answer, all right, to all the things. And I've been talking about the whole idea of bigotry and racism in America, and I've been talking about it for a couple months, and I know the church is the answer. I really do. I know the church is the answer. And here, we for well over 20 years have celebrated diversity in our church, whether it's young and old, rich or poor, no matter what color, no matter what nationality. We've got tons of Hispanic people that come to our 11 o'clock service, don't even speak English, but just love being here. And it's funny because pastors will ask me about that. Then we have an Hispanic service after that, a 1 o'clock service, and they come to both services. And pastors asked me, they said, why did they come? And I said, I think they just like it. You know, I think that just the atmosphere in the room, that, you know, but I also think it's inclusive. I also think that it's who we are. And I really think we could take that into our community. And, you know, and with all the things going on, such a tragic thing that happened. I mean, there's no way around it. No way around it. Even when all the facts come in, it's still tragic, okay? And, but I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to pray. And I don't want the national celebrity to swoop in to save the day and cause more of an issue than there needs to be. I think that, and I'm meeting with pastors, I've been texting pastors from around town, that we, and I'm just telling you, I'm one guy, you're one guy or girl, but we've got to get out in front of this. We really do. We've got to lead the way to the love of God in Christ. And I think to do that, we've really got to pray, and really our hearts have to be moved. But here's the deal, we have to do something. And not just something, and we had an expression like, this guy started saying, and I don't think I've ever said it, so I shouldn't have said we, but these guys I hung out with before I was a Christian, I think I was in college, and they said, man, we got to do something, even if it's wrong. And I don't agree with that. I'm telling you, we got to do the right thing. And in order to do the right thing, we've got to get the mind of Christ. In order to get the mind of Christ, we've got to begin to pray. And the Bible says if we humble ourselves and pray, God will heal our land. You guys believe the promise of God?
Yes.
Man, if we humble ourselves, that means, you know what? I'm nobody. Man, I'm not coming in with all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I just have one answer. His name is Jesus. Can I tell you about Jesus? Man, that's the answer. And so I just want to pray. And if you're going through something in your life about this, or you are, I don't know, but you're dealing with it. And I know that the people in here, the Hispanic people in here and African-American people in here, that you deal with a different life sometimes than I might deal with. You know, and I get it. Let me just tell you, because, man, the persecution I get just about being who I am in our community and who I am in this church and what I stand for. And, I mean, there's people that hate me because I believe God's the healer. Is that crazy? There's people that hate me because I believe the church is God's answer for the salvation of man. It's crazy to me, but it happens. And I know that probably, listen, I know that probably doesn't cut as deep as the racial issues, okay? So I'm not even trying to bring a comparison at all. But I'm just telling you, I wanna be a part of the solution. And if that's just in your life, I think I'm good with it. I really do. You know, if it gets beyond that, then let's go beyond that. But I'm sure not going to kick any doors down. I'm going to go walk through every door God opens, and I just want you guys to know, and I want you guys to pray for me too, because there's a lot of pastor gatherings, and you know, I'm not going to go in there and try to get a front row seat. I slip in the back, I sit down, I listen, and I just see where it plays out, how it plays out for us as a church. And but be praying for me, for Sandy. Sandy's gotten a lot of interaction on social media that people say, man, we just need to get together and pray. We need to. And let me just tell you something. We do have to get together and pray, but I think it starts with us personally, individually. It starts with us, with our families. Man, I'll tell you, you guys that have families, just call a family meeting and pray. And just pray for our city. Man, let your kids pray, man. Your kids are going to schools that they're probably dealing with stuff that you have no idea. There might be some stuff that surfaces, you know, in their lives. And I don't think that we don't have to come in and be bigger and bolder than we are. I just think we have to come in big and bold as God's made us. So I want to pray for you. If you have some needs, if you're dealing with something and man, you just need some help walking it out and walking through it, please email me. We can put the email up on the screen or something. There's a team of people that we respond to these emails quickly. Okay, but I'll just tell you, I'm heartbroken. I really am. From every angle, it's tragic. You know, it's interesting because I'll hear people say, well, we need to wait for all the facts to come in. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I can imagine there's more facts. But when the facts come in, let me tell you, to me, it's still tragic. It still breaks my heart. And I'll tell you, I love Tulsa. I love this city. God's called us here. I'll tell you, when Sandy and I got engaged, we knew we were going to live in Tulsa. And I'll tell you why. We wanted to raise our kids here. Isn't that funny? You know, we were young adults, and I didn't know Kamir from Sikkim, but I knew I wanted to raise my kids here. And so I love this city, and I want to pray for this city. And man, we don't need a lot of politics to come in and stir stuff up that doesn't need to be stirred up, but we need to get to the bottom of things. And I think we start with that. Listen, individually, with our families, with our sphere friends in our neighborhoods. Man, equip your kids for what they might be facing at school. And then we as a church. And if you're not connected in this church, it's going to be hard for you to get through things. And, you know, this is I believe, an attack that's hit our city. But there's also attacks that hit our lives. And I'll tell you what, two are always better than one. Threefold cord isn't easily broken. Man, there's more with us than there are with them. I'll tell you. Numbers and the joining matters to God, okay? So God, I just thank you right now. Let's just begin to pray. Man, if I'm telling you, man, pray as fervently and directly, pray God's promise, pray in the Spirit. But you guys watching online, I'll tell you, some guys from all over the country, I know there's people that'll stream this service tonight just to hear what we're doing with this situation. And I'm telling you, this is our game plan here. It's going to be real simple. Man, we're going to come out with the love of God in Christ. God, I thank you right now. God, regarding this situation. God, for the Crutcher family, God, I thank you for every relative and every friend in this situation. God, for the police department, for all the city officials, God, for the pastors, God, especially pastors on the north side of town. God, I lift those men up. God, I thank you that they hear your voice and another voice they don't follow. God, I thank you that the plan you have for their life is good and not evil. God, you give them a future and a hope. God, I pray revival in all those churches. God, I thank you right now that they all fill with people. They all swell with people. God, I thank you, God. God, that Jesus is the answer. God, illuminate our hearts. God, show us things that we didn't know. God, let Tulsa be the city that shows the country how you react and respond in this kind of situation right here. That we respond humbly, God. We respond. Now, God, I thank you for a spirit of forgiveness to come about our city. God, I thank you that we are able to forgive even heinous actions. We're able to forgive. God, I thank you right now that you convict us of the issues that are in our hearts. God, issues, maybe critical things and judgmental things that might be deep-seated within us. God, forgive us of those things. God, deliver us from it. God, if there's anybody in this room that deals with bigotry or racism in their own hearts, God, I thank you right now that you're the author. Jesus is the author and finisher of their faith, and a whole new story is written about their soul. God, thank you today for your forgiveness. God, I thank you today that your hands on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, will you give the Lord a hand with me? Come on, give the Lord a hand. And I'll tell you, that wasn't scripted. I didn't know. What I wanted to do tonight is I wanted to pray. But that was it. And I want you to know that this is an easy place to kind of shoot from the hip, where I don't feel like I have to be, you know, totally guarded. I'll tell you, CNN was here last week. You guys probably saw them. How many of you guys were here last Wednesday night? Well, out of the blue, CNN just came in and said, can we film your service and can we interview you after the service and maybe a few of your people? I said, about what? And they said, well, about Christian values being attacked in America. And it was an Anderson Cooper show. And really, honestly, I don't know much about CNN or Anderson Cooper. I just know that I know what I know. Okay, I don't know what they're about. But I just thought, sure, you know, we're not hiding anything. And they came in and filmed the service, the altar filled with people. You know, they interviewed people, and I'll tell you, most of the people, I think everything that I saw was very respectful, it was very honoring. I think that it honored God, and that's the biggest thing. You guys have to understand that with your social media, and I don't know, you know, I mean, it happened last week to a few of you, and I don't know, it happens to me when, you know, somebody from the media might stick a camera or a microphone in front of your face and put you on a camera. Man, just be ready to honor God with your response, with what you say. You know, if you're just talking to somebody, even your husband and your wife, you know, the Bible says this, like you might say, well, here's what my opinion is about this. And you might say, well, I'm just talking to my wife or I'm just talking to my husband. You know what the Bible says? Things whispered in your bedchamber late at night will be carried to the ends of the earth by a little bird. You know that expression, oh, a little birdie told me? How'd you find out about that? Well, a little birdie told me? You know, that's scriptural. And and I'm telling you, this is the time we can't get our personal, we can't get our personalities, we can't get our egos, we can't get our opinions in the way of the gospel. Do you understand that where sin abounds, grace so much more abounds? Man, I want as much of God's grace as I could get. Anybody with me on that? You know, in Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul wrote, for we are his workmanship. Think about that. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now notice that again, this is Wednesday night, so I'm gonna give you a little bit of instruction, a little teaching, a little coaching, a little training, okay? But here it is. It doesn't say we're his workmanship created in Jesus Christ. It says Christ Jesus. And you guys probably already know, if you've been here for a while, that the action of this statement is God to man, because it's Christ Jesus. If it's Jesus Christ, it's man to God. But this isn't. This is God's demand. We are his workmanship, created, listen, in the action of God's demand for good works. Now think about that, for godly works. It doesn't mean good works like we're just going to help old people across the street. It doesn't mean godly works that, oh, you know, are good works where it's like, well, I'm going to tell the truth to the best of my ability. No, it's godly works. See, that's what good. There's none good except for God. Do you guys see that in the Word? See, so these are godly works, which God prepared beforehand that we should simply listen, walk in them. See, this life isn't hard. The devil just tries to deceive us into thinking it's hard. It isn't difficult to live a Christian life. It isn't, especially as a Christian. Let me tell you, because the bottom line, your nature, the Bible says, that you become a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Passed away means passed away. Okay? Died. And, you know, it's interesting because now my old nature's died and I'm a new man in Christ. See, but I look at myself and I'm like, wait a second, this looks like me. I still think the same things. I still have the same temptations. But something's new on the inside of me. See, so what has to happen? We are a spirit, and we have a mind, and we live in a body, and that's how this thing breaks out. See, what God impacts when we give our lives to Jesus is our spirit man. Are you listening to me? We're born again. Our spirit becomes born of God. God actually takes our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. The effect that it has on our mind is that, wait a second, there's a new way for me to think. I don't think I've been thinking right. It doesn't give you that new way to think. You have to obtain that. You have to work on that. See, what happens, let me tell you, some of you guys may have served God for maybe 5 years, a number of years, and then you got derailed and you had some time where you weren't serving God. And then you try to get back on track and you're like, well, wait a second, man, I need my muscle memory, my spiritual muscle memory to take over again. But it's like, I don't know how to get back in cadence. I've missed out. I'm lagging behind. This is too difficult. And I'll tell you why. Because when we're not, listen, partaking of God's word and his promise, if we're not living God's promise, if we're not thinking about it, if we're not talking about it, if we're not living it, listen, it's daily bread. It's daily. See, this has got to be daily. Man, you get the second miles come back up and it's on Sunday nights and we want to give you an opportunity to really be discipled. The Bible says make disciples. It's hard because this is America. You know, the Western culture, man, we can't make you do anything. Man, if I come and say, well, you have to be here on Sunday night, half of you say, okay, I better be there. The other half of you say, hey, this is America. I can do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. See, you need somebody to tell you what to do. Do you understand with Saul of Tarsus, who was he was as big a dignitary as a Pharisee as you could get. He was as celebrated a Pharisee as you could be. Man, when Jesus made himself real to him, and boom, he's on his back on the road to Damascus. He sees this bright light and he looks up and you know what he says to Jesus? He said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And you know what Saul said to him? Just tell me what to do. Here he was, as high as you could get in a religious order. And he's saying, just tell me what to do. Man, I'll tell you what, in response to what's happened in the last week in Tulsa, let me tell you what to do. Walk in love. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Forgive everybody. Man, if you're one of those guys that, man, you're honking at people and you're flipping people off with their cut, don't do it for a while. Try to break yourself of that. Man, if you're one of those people, you're snapping, man, this meal's cold and you throw your fork down, grow up. See, we've got to be people now. We change everything. It's a new ball game. Do you understand that? It's not just our Christian values being under attack. Man, it's the whole rug that we're standing on just getting pulled out from under us. Where now it's like, wait a second, my foundation better be the rock of Christ Jesus. Man, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for godly works. That's what I'm created for. I'm not created for all the other stuff that I'm thinking that's what I ought to be doing. I'm not created to sell shoes. I'm not created to sell real estate. I'm created for God. Yeah, that's what I do. But who I am, let me tell you who I am. I'm not who you think I am. I'm not who you saw I was a couple months ago or a couple years ago, or that was like a different life. Man, a few years ago for me, I could talk to you about 36 years ago when I gave my life to the Lord, 37 years ago. I could talk to you about that, but let me tell you, I could talk to you about 5 years ago. Man, the growth in my life in the last 5 years, man, the growth that I've seen in Chano in the last 5 years, oh my gosh, and you know what? When I see that, all I want to do is grow. Man, I don't want to look at all these other people around me that are growing and developing and then maybe thinking, man, I guess I've arrived. I'm telling you what, I'm Bill Shear from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I have not arrived. But let me tell you something. I'm going to get there. I'm going to work my tail off as much as I can every single day. And you'll say, how does this happen? How do you do it? And I'll tell you how you do it. How you do it, it's seed and harvest. It's seed and harvest. Both of those are work. There's no play in this. See, it's not work, play. Man, that's a Toyota commercial. What this is work. And you know what? Your flesh is gonna say, no, I wanna play. Write this down. You guys ready? God doesn't play. And then write this, and the next bullet point, the devil doesn't play either. Scott's the devil play? I'll tell you what, I hate the devil. I'm not kidding you. You know why? He doesn't play. It didn't let, you know what? I'm getting kind of tired of the devil. No, you know what I'm going to do? Man, I'm telling you, I'm going to bull rush that sucker and I'm going to put my heel to his throat. You know why? He's messing with my marriage. He's messing with my children. He's messing with my finances. He's messing with my church. He's messing with my friends. He's messing with my city. See, that's what we've got to understand. That's who we are. Let me tell you something. When I talk like this, it reverberates through the heavens and it reverberates through hell. See, that's the power that's in our words. That's a power in our preaching. Man, Sunday, I talked to you about Luke 5 and Luke 6, where they came, they heard, and they were healed. Man, just hearing today is going to change your life. And in Matthew, the 13th chapter and the 36th verse, Matthew 13, 36, that Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. This is interesting. Some of you guys maybe have never heard this before, but explain to us this story. Explain to us the example that you used of the tares in the field. And he answered them and he said, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, okay? That's Jesus, all right? Write that down in the margin of your Bible there. Just write Jesus. And the field is the world. It's real simple. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. That's us. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. That's the devil. Now listen. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it'll be at the end of this age. The Son of Man, Jesus, now listen, will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, Jesus took a very practical situation, okay? Wheat and tares. Every one of those guys, it was a rural community. Every one of those guys understood the idea of wheat and tares, okay? But listen, let's take this a little deeper and let's bring it to a spiritual place the way Jesus just did, okay? And let me help you connect the dots, because much is said in the word about seed and harvest. And there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. Man, and let me just tell you something. Both of those are work. It's work for you to sow. It's work for you to serve. It's work for you to love people. It's work for you to not give your every opinion. It's work for you to give your money. It's work. It's work for you to receive. Man, there's so many people that it's like, man, they get tired. And you know what? Right before the harvest, they just go kick rocks. It's like you missed out. There's people in this room that you missed out on massive harvests just because you weren't confident long enough. See, let me tell you what this Christianity is, okay? It's a lifestyle. And the operative word is not style. It's life. We're in for life. But see, we're thinking it's a style. And I see a lot of these young preachers, and they got style. I'm thinking, man, they got style. But you know what? They got to live the life too. It's about the life. Yeah, you know what? I think visitors or guests come in here, man, you could notice the style, the method. You could notice the music, you could notice the other things, but let me just tell you, what you're gonna live your life on is the life part of that, not the style. See, and what life is, listen, is sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. Both of those feel like work. Let me just help you. It's not playtime. Both of them are toil. Now listen, in the world, there's a perpetual cycle of working the field. That's all this is. You get up, Travis, you get up tomorrow, you're gonna work the field, man. You go home tonight, you're gonna work the field. That's what we're doing. We're working the field. Listen, the seed is God's word. The field is the world. Now listen, the tares, and here's what's interesting, is that the tares, what happened? The tares get pulled out and thrown in the fire, right? That's what it says, right, Sandy? So the tares get thrown in the fire. Notice that the tares don't have any effect on the integrity or the value of the wheat. The tares are thrown out. The tares are thrown in the fire. But what happened? Now, what is the wheat? The wheat, even when those tares get pulled out, man, the wheat even takes on more value. So the value and the integrity of the wheat isn't even affected by this. See, that's what you have to understand. All this stuff's going on in the world, all the stuff that's happening around us, things that happen to you at work, it doesn't affect your value. It doesn't affect your integrity. You stand for Christ. You take a stand. Man, that things start happening, you've got to take a stand. You have to take a stand. And that stand is not so much in you having an opinion about what direction or what the solution is. No, the stand is I'm gonna love God. Man, I'm gonna treat you the way God treated you. And you know what? He gave his only begotten son. Man, that's how valuable you are. And you know what? I know your opinion, man, may be like a ball peen hammer upside my head, but I'm telling you, I'm gonna turn the other cheek. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna turn the other cheek. Man, just recently I had a young pastor call me and said, man, I got people in my church talking about me. You can't believe what they're saying. He told me all this stuff. And he goes, man, I think I've got a response. Can I read you the response? I said, before you read me the response, can I just give you one word? He said, yeah. I said, turn the other cheek. I said, I didn't make that up. And if I made it up, it would be throw a couple jabs, maybe a right hook, then turn the other cheek. Okay? Pick up something really hard, hit him a few times with it, and then turn the other cheek. You know what I'm saying? Is that good, Justin? I mean, grab a ball bat, have a little heyday, turn the other cheek. I'm telling you, you got another shot, take another shot. I'm gonna help you up. You wanna hit me again? Okay. No. Jesus said, look, they strike you they strike you once. What do? Help me. Help me. I said, no, they strike you, what do? It's pretty simple. It really is. See, and we've got to be those people. You know why? No weapon formed against us will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, God will condemn. See, you don't turn the other cheek. You take action, God can't do anything. You're in the flesh. God cannot honor the arm of the flesh in your life. He can't do it. You'll say, well, here, as hard as Sandy wants to work to fix me and to change me and to give me, let me just tell you something. Man, the bottom line is she knows that's not what's gonna work. What's gonna work is her praying for me, her believing God on my behalf. God, you gotta speak to that man. God, you gotta save him. You gotta deliver him. God, he's going the wrong direction. That's how you deal with your adult kids. Man, you browbeating them? That's not gonna work. And I'm not here to change Sandy. I'm here to love Sandy. As Christ loved the church. Are you guys listening to me? See, but we wanna change people. I gotta love her. As Christ loved the church. Man, it's like Jesus said, he rolled his eyes so many times saying, how long do I have to be with this perverted generation? Every tongue that rises against you, God will condemn. Man, there's God's promise. You get in the way, you get in the flesh, you get in the way, none of those promises come true. Tell me I'm right. The enemy can't mess with your wheat status. Man, the tares are getting pulled. How are you still standing, man? Because let me just tell you, God's going to take care of that. Because the enemy comes to devalue the harvest. See, this battle, see, you know what we'll hear? We'll hear stuff like, well, the battle's the Lord's. Battle's the Lord's. No, for real. The battle is the Lord's. But because the enemy's not fighting, enemy could care less about you. He cares about the kingdom. He cares about God. He messes with you to get to God. He messes with you to get to the kingdom. See, that's what we have to understand. We take it all personal. Why did this happen? Why did I get this diagnosis? Why didn't I get that promotion? Why isn't this working? See, the tears that are around our lives and the tears that are in our lives. See, there's a dual meaning to this. One of them inside of us, one of them's around us, okay? But they pull the nutrients from the soil that are designed and they're meant for the wheat. That's why you gotta get those tares out of your life. You gotta get those tares from around your life. You gotta not be providing nutrients and hydration for the tares that are around you. Because it's not about you. When I think about the devil, it's easy for me when I think about the devil in my own life, but when I think about the devil in Sandy's life, the devil's not, he's not thinking, I want to take Sandy out. You know what he's thinking? I want to rob her of her potential. I want to rob her of her future. See, because what does God promise us? A future and a hope. A future and a hope. So it's like, you know what? I'm gonna mess with her hope and rob her future. So this potential that we have in Christ, man, he sees that, and you know what? We start realizing that. I'm telling you what, if I'm the devil and I don't have any real arsenal and I don't have any real armor, I'm gonna try to deceive every dadgum one of you guys that your future is bleak, that your potential is minimal, that it's always gonna happen to other people, that your day's never gonna come. Man, if I'm the devil, that's what I'm gonna do, and I'm gonna be relentless with it. Because all you do, sitting here taking notes, how many of you guys are taking notes tonight? How many of you guys, for real, you're taking notes? You're rubbing the defeat that he suffered at the hand of Jesus every time that pen hits that paper and writes down a note of God's promise on there. Every single time. You know, he's like, God, dog it. How many years the devil's trying to deceive you and rip off your potential and rip off your future, and he's been doing it for at least a couple years now. How long's your battle been? But you think about it, wait a second, this battle's not against me, this battle's against the kingdom that I'm in. Well, wait a second. The kingdom, man, that becomes a sure thing, doesn't it? Let's pick a winner. Who's gonna win in this battle? We already know who wins. See, that's the God that we serve. It's about perceived value. The enemy's attack is to keep you from your future, to keep you from your destiny. And you have to know what time it is. I'll tell you all this is, all that's happened, as tragic as it is in our city, we got to say, oh, wait a second, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just realized what time it is. Man, Sandy woke me up at the Admirals Club this afternoon, and she said, I looked at my app and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's time for us to get on an airplane, and it's a mile and a half away. I'll tell you what time it is. And when you turn on the news and they're talking about Tulsa and tragedy in the same sentence, it's time for us to rise up. Let me introduce you to you. You're the church. I said, you're the church. You're what Jesus promised he would build. And the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. Man, there's gates that have been keeping you out of God's promise for a long time. Here's what I'm gonna pray, what Paul prayed, where he said that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling, the riches of your inheritance, and the power that's available to you. Man, your eyes are enlightened to the hope of your calling. Let me tell you, you don't have a slick operator pastor in your church. I hate to burst the bubble, okay? I used to play one on TV, but we're not on TV anymore, so now I'm just me. hey, you're that guy on TV. Yeah, it's awkward. But I'm the prime example. And my friends who are here that have walked this out with us for over 20 years, I'm the prime example. You can point at me and say, dear God, if he can do it, I can do it. That's who I am. And I love being that guy because I believe you can do it. But the only way we do it is we do it together, and the only way we do it is we rise up. I'm telling you, I'm rising up. People need to hear about the solution. And it's not about what is the solution. The gospel's the solution, but who's the solution is the question. It's Jesus. It really is, it's Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.